Hello, is Babalia Musalt, Gergus and Clare Shaw, Shachley. She Robert de Carslach Mish. I'm Bob Carswell, and I'd like to welcome you to this edition of Shachley. In Shachley this week, Siniru de Shachley Achir Cho. Kia Katrina Maru. Catherine's hen is dead. The unusual tradition that formed the basis of the Kirkarbury Fair. As Crach Erechin, a disaster at sea. The anniversary of the wreck of the Ellen Vannin in 1909. There are two events happening on opposite sides of Athol Street in Peel this Saturday afternoon, the 6th of December. As we heard in Shachley last time, Peel Pantaloons will be giving the first performance of their pantomime production this year, Robin Hood, with the matinee starting at 2 o'clock. And then at 2:30, on the opposite side of Athol Street, in the Guild Room adjoining the Methodist Church, James Franklin, the Online and Educational Resource Officer for Culture Fannin, will be giving an illustrated talk about the Manx Christmas tradition of the White Boys. All are very welcome to James's talk, which is being organised by the Manx branch of the Celtic Congress. A donation of £3 will be appreciated to help cover overheads. After James's presentation, there'll be the opportunity to ask him many questions about the White Boys or to share your own reminiscences or observations about them. So that's at 2:30 in the Guild Room adjoining the Methodist Church in Athol Street, Peel, this Saturday afternoon, the 6th of December. This is a piece of music that's come to be associated with the White Boys. It's Craig Willie Sill. A tune called Craig Willie Sill, which is an outcrop of rock as you climb out of Glen Helen towards Lamphill, but it's become associated with the White Boys through being the tune for a six-handed sword dance. But that's not the only music that's been associated with the White Boys, and James Franklin will reveal more at 2:30 this Saturday afternoon, the 6th of December, in the Guild Room in Athol Street, Peel. Ons de len va tausen and the horosi chitkas an alien, va flod moor e coloch pagad bri alien vanning, as va bed and gull huggers by ar drossen, as fleetwood, as lairful, as beel fershta, as divlin, as doolish as rumsanius. Ons photographen gint gin herish per ghoulish ons na len ting ol sha, vech imidi bed and ragen. By len the bed and bree as queel and spegachoch, gus len the bed and a scrodanoch, as hoyach les jejachtan vagular ovrcha les gael, as na sanmi les jejachtan vagular ovrcha les uil. Na curtain vech bed and delur ons per ghoulish, as vashenonach dera a nighy jeg as 3 feet as giant. Ons a yawr of a iru de bed and courage nan lai eg burton nons kion bai, Birkenhead, der a vech fe moru rish sin imbach sauri. Tref a bed and ons strain eg kion a cholu ons lairful, as va arbel yawr de horosi furachtan de gulair bur, as chalees van un bed a lingt, ve fegeil as esh vad goil toyach der lina a na bed. A vessel for the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company was named the Mona's Isle, the second of that name for the company, and it was launched in 1860 as a paddle steamer. After 23 years' service, the vessel was rebuilt in Ramsey, being lengthened and converted to being propeller-driven, and it was relaunched as the Ellen Vannin. This was the vessel on which Mona Douglas said she was born in September of 1898.
I wasn't expected just at that time, and Mother was crossing from Ramsey to Liverpool on the Ellen Vannin, and she got very, very seasick, and apparently this brought on the birth, and I was born before they got to Liverpool.
Elsewhere, Mona mentions how an Irish doctor, Dr. Vereker, assisted with the birth. Dr. Charles Vereker was, in fact, the Douglas family's local physician, and it seems that the rough voyage brought forward her mother Frances's labour, but the baby was delivered by the local doctor, Charles Vereker. However, it's easy to see how the family tradition would develop the family story, with Mona being told that, well, she was practically born on the Ellen Vannin. Mona's father, Frank, had a bakery business on Merseyside, so although the family had a house at Ballarach, there was still their living to make across, and Mona has this recollection.
Father should have been on board. He was going back to business by the night sailing. And we were living at Ballarach at that time, and I very often used to go out in the afternoons, and that particular afternoon I'd gone, it was a very stormy day, but not raining, and I'd gone for a walk over what we call the Dream, that's the open part that looks right out over the sea before you turn round to go down to the dune. And when I was coming back from the dune, I looked out over the sea, and there was... I got an awful feeling of terror, really. I was scared stiff for something, and I looked out over the sea, and there was something like a great big ball of fire, seeming I didn't know what it was. So I hurried up, just trying to get home away from it, and then it seemed to sort of explode, and in the middle of it I saw something like a ship. And I had this feeling that it was something very bad, and I ran home, and I was really hysterical. I was screaming and carrying on, and really made me ill. I couldn't eat or do anything, and I was telling Father, he mustn't go tonight, he mustn't go tonight. The ship was going to go on fire. And he didn't believe it, of course, but in the end he said, oh, well, if it'll make you feel better, I won't go tonight, I'll go in the morning from Douglas. And that's what he did. And, of course, I don't know whether he knew before he went on board at Douglas, but we heard when the postman came up that morning from Douglas, they got the word, they telephoned through to say the Ellen Van had gone down with all hands lost.
This is, of course, in reference to the loss of the Ellen Vannin in the early hours of the 3rd of December, 1909. When John Kinnean was working in Liverpool in the 1960s, he was very active on the folk scene and was a great friend of the Spinners. John was talking with Huey Jones of the Spinners about the American Civil War, and Huey was interested in the SS Douglas, a paddle steamer of the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company, the fastest ship of its day, which was bought by a secret consortium, and it turned out it was on behalf of the Confederate Navy, for whom the vessel became a blockade runner as the Margaret and Jessie. But the Margaret and Jessie was captured by the Union Navy, and then was converted into the USS Gettysburg. John lent Huey Fred Henry's book of the history of the steam packet vessels, and Huey came up with a new song, but not one that John had expected.
Snaefell, Tynwald, Ben McCree, 14 ships have sailed the sea, proudly bearing a man's name, but there's one we'll never. Oh, Ellen Vannin of the Island Man Company. Oh, Ellen Vannin, lost in the Irish Sea. At 1 a.m. in Ramsey Bay, Captain Tyr was heard to say, our contract said, deliver the mail. In this rough weather, we must not fail. Oh, Ellen Vannin of the Island Man Company. From the storm, Ellen Vannin on the waves was borne. Her hold was full and battened down as she sailed toward far Liverpool town. Oh, Ellen Vannin of the Isle of Man Company. Oh, Ellen Vannin. passengers, Liverpool businessmen. Farewell to Mona's Isle, farewell. This little ship was bound for hell. Oh, well, and vermin of the Isle of Man Company. Less than a mile from the bar light ship, by a mighty wave, Ellen Vanin was hit. She sank in the waters off Liverpool Bay. There she lies unto this day. Oh, Ellen Vanin of the Isle of Man Company. Men now remember the third day of the month, December, that terrible storm in 1909. Ellen Vanin sailed for the very last time. Oh, Ellen Vanin of the Isle of Man Company.
The song Huey Jones wrote, and that was Huey Jones singing it with the Spinners. The chorus mentions about the Ellen Vanin being lost in the Irish Sea, although a verse says that she sank in the waters of Liverpool Bay. Going back to Mona Douglas, she briefly mentions the aftermath of the loss of the Ellen Vanin.
A few days after the wreck, I don't know quite how long, but I must have been crossing on one of the other boats to Liverpool, because as we went up the river, we could see the masts where she was lying against the revetment. And somebody told me, I was on deck, and somebody told me that's the masts of the Ellen Vanin.
Mona Douglas's reminiscence of having seen masts sticking out of the water and being told that that was the Ellen Vanin. She mentions that it was probably only shortly after the tragedy, and in fact that would have had to be the case, although Huey Jones wrote that there she lies until this day. That's, I'm afraid, completely wrong. The hulk of the Ellen Vanin was quickly recognised as a danger to shipping, and the Mersey Docks and Harbour Board blew up the remains in April of 1904. However, the tragedy was in the loss of life, with 21 crew members and 15 passengers, and the passengers not by any means all Liverpool businessmen, as there were 5 women and a 10-month-old baby girl, as well as a 15-year-old youth. The Ellen Vanin was lost near the mouth of the River Mersey on the 3rd of December, 1909. Ik tijacht de nieuwe schoortje schaakt leef, van mijn lord me gewoon doen gewoon schaakt en schoortjet. Van mijn greed, de wel een taakert en schen, benden den fantomime, als de tashminus James Franklin me gewoon de Gillian Berner, gul er kummel den scheeuw le mine nolik. Ach, ljorisch nisch on schaakt leef, dat schen leden al achrisch en acht voor koch leeg in zijn eel jaar. Drouwe reichet de ginnach het limme herrisch on le jeg. De denken le, luggen na le, mijn fauer, de wij een gero le jeg, mijn fauer. Heraus en jinsen onvleen as we reichet, gerent in wel cordeel rischen klatters, derre een gid le jeg as feed, mijn nullig, schach hied jeg as 3 jeg as died. Ach wat greider ouwen koch le jins of leen roschen. Os na len sien, charaw slaid yn y wymyd jay ffeiliau i goel eis rydyn sgrw chys. Charaw ydych cwnt yn y len, chaws fod gul sia. Mas o, gaed yr awen eiliau, rer y clatau sien, gred yr awen le ciart yr jitson ffeiliau eniach, fan ti y ffos ffwrad cwnt a, der y fech tri chyd le, tri ffyd ys cweg yng ngol sia, nir ys ych i'r sieri fan eiliau sien o'n. As mach as sien, fad cwmmel na sian cleacht ych yn och, mod y bech ein yr aw coch le yr weidjint. With the ordinary people sticking to the traditional celebrations according to the old-style calendar, they were also starting to take more notice of the way officialdom recorded dates. So something once celebrated on, say, the first of the month, like Lia Lunas and the first day of August, continued to be observed by what would have been the first of the month according to the old calendar, but on the revised calendar that comes on the 12th day of the month. So in many cases the observance was held at the time that coincided with the old calendar, but they started then to think of it according to the date by the new calendar. A case in point is Lal Katrina, the feast day of St. Catherine. Her feast day falls on the 25th of November. By the revised calendar, that coincides with the 6th of December. So that was the date when a fair was held in Kirkcaldy.
So we're in Colby at the bottom of Ballykill Ferrick Road, and we're here because hundreds of years ago there was a fair held here, and it was called St. Catherine's Fair, and the field we're standing in now is still called the Fairfield. They would celebrate the start of the summer with Lair Columbkillia, and 6 months later, when we get to winter and all of the produce is gathered in and they've had their harvests, they would celebrate again the start of the winter at the end of November, start of December. Some people say that the fair started with a procession. Some men from the village killed a hen and walked through the fair field, two by two, carrying the hen between them, singing, "Catherine's hen is dead." They would then go to the pub, which I assume would be Bell Abbey Chapel, now a house, but it was originally built as a pub, and they would hold a wake for the hen. After they held the wake for the hen, the next day they would go back and bury the head, bury the feet, keep some of the feathers for good luck, but they would then cook the body and have a feast. If anyone was found to be drunk after the fair and after the going to the pub, they were said to have plucked a feather from the hen. Another story is that in the days before there were lawyers and advocates, the people of the village would solve any arguments or disagreements before Lail Katrina, so they decided to pluck feathers from the hen and they buried the feathers under the ground, and the argument was all agreed between them then. They just carried on, they were all happy. It was symbolic, I suppose. Carrying the hen would be seen as putting all their arguments behind them. So when they were burying everything in the ground, it was all sorted out.
Ciar Catrina Maru, Ciar Catrina Maru, Gawms a kiawnas, gawms na kazanas, ver ma jif on talu.
In that sequence we heard Bernard Osborne on fiddle and Peter Lum on guitar playing a tune which is known here in the island in connection with Ciar Catrina Maru, and which we'll come back to. Anita Cashin was then our guide to the site of this fair on Bell Abbey in Colby. We heard Brian MacStoll singing the song the men used to raise as they made their solemn procession through the fair, and that tune was collected from John Brideson of Colby. And then we heard that longer tune again played by the band Birling Jerg. The longer tune, which has that refrain which fits the words Cia Catrina Maru, is known in Scotland and Ireland as Duke's Dangor My Daddy, or The Ducks Knocked Over My Daddy, but it's also known as The Irish Showboy, or Just As I Was in the Morning. So it's a shared tune, but convenient here in the island for the refrain fitting in with the Kirkcaldy tradition of Cia Catrina Maru. The words we heard Brian McStall singing translate as Catherine's hen is dead. Take thou the head, I'll take the legs, and we'll put her under the ground.
Cia Catrina Maru, Cia Catrina Maru, Gawns a kyaunas, gawns na kazanas, verma jifon talu.
Kirkcaldy Fair on Shan Lael Katrina, actually the 25th of November, but according to the modern calendar, it falls on the 6th of December. Marhilsin a chir sherry on Shahle, to bing na pantaloons on Pertni Hinja, Gavracha Karna Blina, the Yinawerus on pantomime. Kalis to fair erwe jintok, tan ving shira script an elia. As te yaro jin ulyun na altan an och, as jinu brunus, vel a skeel shore yinun and skeel shen, fagin de vel an iru shore the lion, as te sly an och jinu shore as jinu shen, on zach she cables on coursen, as te a wing rye script vis kuid and fodden, as desent and fodden fregertach. Ach shen rechits on altan an a wing, kiart nish ta jiricha kor an urden a tashmanis och melina, as be cared a sly fag and shen a garage. All the learning of scripts, all the practising of how to get on the stage, move about and off again, getting the comic timing right, all the dance rehearsals, the songs and the music, all those hours of hard work come together for the Peel Pantaloons, who present this year's pantomime Robin Hood in performances this weekend, then more as we go into next weekend. This is what the director, Liam Reynolds, had to say about it, and we hear from Victoria Reynolds and from the chair of the Pantaloons Committee, Lisa Mellor.
With this script, it was very much based in England, and being Robin Hood, obviously he's a sheriff of Nottingham. So actually with this one, we've had to make a few changes because obviously make reference to England in front of a Manx audience and things kind of, you know, you'll get booed very quickly. So yeah, we've had to think about it being Nottingham, but not so much England.
Mm. With this script, some of the songs were written into the script. Oh, mm-hmm. So they're familiar songs, but with words tweaked to fit the storyline. And then there'll be, I suppose, traditional songs. A love duet will have a big celebration at the end, a nice big opener at the start. We try to make sure we've got a nice balance of current music and some older music. We even throw a show song in there, which we have this year. I've got a little song from Oliver going on. Some of it comes from the script. The script does direct to a certain point, but equally it's quite nice to have that flexibility to mix it up a bit and put some hits in there.
And lots of dancing. So who does the choreography?
So it's a mixture between a few of us. So myself, Tor, Kaylee, and then we've got a few of the little, the younger kids, teens, shall I say, Ellie and Amy. They've choreographed a few dances as well, which is nice to have them coming up and doing more stuff with us. But it's very much in-house. We do it all ourselves. Mm. We're not dancers, but we know how to put a dance together. Mm. And that's what we do, yeah.
Mm. What are the performances this year?
We open on the 6th, Saturday the 6th. We've got a matinee performance. And then the Sunday the 7th, another matinee performance, which is always nice to get two matinees in at the start. Then we'll have a little break. We'll have a Thursday evening performance, a Friday evening performance. And then on the final Saturday, the 13th, we'll have a matinee and an evening performance. Mm. So there's 6 performances altogether, 2 groups of kids, and they'll get to do 3 shows each. We've got quite a lot this year of transitions between scenes, which is working quite nicely. We've come across some situations where we need to be setting things up on stage, but things are still carrying on. There's a bit more maybe cloth movement than normal, cloths coming up and down during the show, which we wouldn't normally have. We'd have a blackout and then everything would change. But it seems to be quite nice to have this extra transition throughout the story, just to enable things to happen at the back without anyone noticing.
Oh, well, the Pantaloons have been going 34 years now.
Yeah, it's still going strong. And it's nice as well because the kids are growing up. Some of these kids that were here from when they were as young as 7 and are now maybe heading off to university. And the family atmosphere as well. We've got lots of families as well, which is always nice to see. So it's, yeah, just a great bunch of people.
A reprise of the Peel Pantaloons from the director of this year's pantomime Robin Hood, Liam Reynolds, cast and committee member Victoria Reynolds, and cast member and chair of the committee Lisa Mellor. There's 2 o'clock matinees in the Centenary Centre in Peel on Saturday the 6th and Sunday the 7th. Then there are performances next Thursday, Friday and Saturday. So we remind you of those next time. The Talis Consort, with their musical director Matthew Warren, will be presenting Gaude, a concert of choral music celebrating Christmas from the 16th century to the present day, and you can enjoy that at 7:30 on Sunday the 7th of December in Our Lady, Star of the Sea and St Macheld in Ramsey, and at 7:30 on Monday the 8th of December in St Mary's Cathedral in Hill Street, Douglas. Shanae by Seach Léach Hirtshaw. That brings us to the end of this edition of Seach Lé. So now from me, Bob Carswell, Marceau, Nish, Wompin, Robert de Carslach, Sledned.